Morning, everyone. Oh, it's good to see you folks in the Commons this morning. It's always a pleasure to be here. Thank you. And I think before we go any further, let's just one more time go to the one who deserves it all. Our Father in heaven, we do not understand how much it cost. And it cost you. It cost your son for us to be sitting here today. There's no way to measure that. There never will be. So how can we not be anything but grateful? And I pray that you, as you look into our hearts this morning, you see gratitude. You see grateful hearts. No matter what circumstances are raining down, glorious or not so, that we'd realize that you set us free. Not just for now, but forever. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. And I was thinking this morning, I was getting ready to come here, that I was 35 years old. No, I'm sorry. I'm being gracious to myself. 45 years old, the first time I ever preached here at Grace. And now at almost 63 years old, and maybe some of you guys in this room will relate to this, certain physical things aren't working well anymore. Not funny, is it? You don't move as well. You don't think as well. You don't hear as well. There's aches and pains. And I guess that's part of the joy of being able to still be here. But one thing, especially for me, I don't see as well. And I see others that are more my age, and they're holding their books way out here, or they're holding them very close to their nose. But that's a physical thing. But there are also reasons why we may, at any age, not see very well either. In the spirit, in spiritual matters, what do we see around us? What level are we aware of what God is doing? Last year, at some point, I introduced you to a few people that I want to use their very brief stories again to make a point as we go into the Apostle Peter's remedy for spiritual eyesight deficiency. I told you about Ron Wayne. Now, some of you guys remember John Wayne. This isn't him. Not even related. Ron started a company in his garage with two other gentlemen. They were broke, but they had a vision. Now, Ron drew up the business plan and actually crafted the first logo for this little company. Three men in a garage. And then the bank said, when he brought the business plan, that we're going to need someone with collateral to give you any measure of a loan at all. Ron's the only one that owned anything. He had a house. And he said, I'm not going to risk my house. So he stepped out after less than a month in this little company. And he sold his share to the other two guys for $800 and walked away. The other two guys' name were Steve. And I can tell by your chuckling, you know the story. That went on to be the Apple Company. Ron's shares today would be in the billions of dollars. You see, he couldn't really see what he had. He wasn't able to see what was right in front of him at that moment. Across the globe at a different time, a man named Richard Rowe was in charge of finding new talent for a British record label. And a young businessman came in with a cassette tape after trying and trying and trying and trying to get an appointment for this Mr. Rowe to hear this little group that he had on that cassette tape. Finally got in, and Mr. Rowe never listened to the whole thing. He went into it about a minute and said, there is no place in the entertainment business for a sound like this. And he passed on the Beatles. And the rest is history there. Funny that they're part of an unofficial club called the Catastrophic Misjudgment Club. And there are so many people throughout their lives they couldn't see something that was right in front of them. So they took a different direction. I think it's alarming that perhaps many in the body of Christ worldwide could find themselves in some measure of a catastrophic misjudgment club, where they just don't see what God is doing around them. Terrific example of this is in the Old Testament, in 2 Kings chapter 6. It's the story of Elisha. Elisha was a phenomenal prophet for Israel, and Israel was at odds with Syria. Not much has changed. As you watch TV today or read the news, there is an incredible dilemma with the Syrian people fleeing for their lives. They wanted to kill Israel at this time. And the king of Syria tried and tried and tried. Anything he could do to break the back of Israel, but every time he made an initiative, every time he had a campaign, Israel already knew about it and thwarted it. So the king of Syria called all of his upper leadership into a room and said, I want to know who amongst you is committing treason. Who is the spy here? Because there's no way Israel is that good. And one fellow said, none of us are disloyal to you. None of us. They have this guy. His name's Elisha. And he is capable of hearing the conversations you have in your bedchamber. God's using this guy. God has equipped this guy. He says, go and get him. They knew where he was. Go and get him and bring him here. So in the dead of the night, the Syrian army surrounded the village that Elisha is in, and they wake up to this. 2 Kings 6, verse 15 and 17. He had a young servant with him. And when the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? I don't know if some of you are facing insurmountable odds, where all you can see is great resource to crush you all around you. That's all he could see. This young servant woke up and said, this is my last day. I won't survive another. I better tell the boss. Elisha prayed. After he said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. He prayed these words, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw and beheld the mountain was full of horses and chariots of their own, except these were made of fire. Open his eyes that he may see. This is kind of the story of believers on the extremes. Those that can see and those that can't. And some variation or mixture of the two in the middle. As we go through life, I'm so glad that I've been given a life. I hope you are too, that you've had the chance to live. And in that life, something happened that brought you here, I would assume for most of you. And if you're just kind of searching today and you're here visiting, so glad that you're here. But you found him, or more appropriately, he found you, and a journey started. That also was the first day of a battle that started. Because there's someone who doesn't want you to love him. There's an enemy that doesn't want you to thrive. He doesn't want you to see or hear. So there's been this thing. And too often in my life, guys, I've been that servant who looked out and said, there's no way. There's no way for anything good to come out of this. There's no way for life as I know it to continue. And on and on and on. And I've always thanked God for those Elisha characters in my life who could come and say, wait a minute. Is our God's arm too short to save? Is his resources too shallow to help you? Is he weak? Did he forget you? Was he tired of Elisha and said, okay, I've taken him as far as I want to go so the Syrians can have him? He saw chariots and horses of fire. I personally don't believe that this is something that God does for some and excuses others. I don't think God ever wanted any one of us to walk through life in the spiritual realm with an inability to hear and an inability to see what is going around us. To some measure, as he so blesses us, and at what measure our faith has been steeled and strengthened. So how do we get there? The Apostle Peter, he made it his life's mission to share the few words I'm going to share with you now. And we're going to see in a minute in the scriptures that he made it very clear to the hearers at that time that this was so important to him and so important to them. He's going to talk to us in the next few moments about supplements. Remember back to as we get older, what's one thing that gets introduced into our lives? Supplements. I got a palm full of supplements I take in the morning to keep things rolling. And without them, I don't move very well or think very well. Without these supplements, I can't guarantee you many things in life, but I can guarantee you this. Without a desperate, in the positive sense of that word, desperate pursuit of these things, you will be blind. You will not hear. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness, through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. That's a heavy statement. Dave Troosh, you have everything you need. Wow. We just celebrated Thanksgiving. And part of what happened that day is we thank God for what he's given us. But there's also that little thing in the back of our mind about the things we don't have. But we won't bring those up on Thanksgiving Day. We'll talk about what he's given us. Rodney, you have everything you need already for life. Through these, he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in this world caused by evil desires. So, my friends, in the comments, we have everything we need. And right now, your mind might be thinking, Pastor Mike, I don't have everything I need. I don't have my health. I don't have a husband. I don't have money. I don't have this. I don't have that. No, he's not talking about that. He's not talking about that because it's not in some measure important. He's talking about something that is so much more important. And the more important, you have, I have everything we need. So much so that he's given us promises. He made us promises so we could walk into that reality. A promise is an oath. It's a vow. And not 10 promises, not 20 promises, and not 30 promises. In the very minimal account, 3,000 promises, and some think it's much higher than that. Tony, has anybody ever made you 3,000 promises? Jen, have you made them that many? Close. Yay. That's good, Tony, because Annie's made about 5 to me. I am kidding. And I wouldn't say that if she was here. 3,000 promises. I will do this. I am this. This will happen. This won't happen. So how do we go about seeing? How do these supplements work? We have everything we need for life. So much so that he's promised to resource us. What do we do? What's our role in all of this? Peter goes on to write, for this reason, actually, for this very reason, that you have everything you need in life, Carl, and the promises have been made to you, for this very reason, make every effort. You see, there is something we need to do. We need to take these supplements. We don't need to just look at them or open the cupboard door and see the bottle and go, I see them, but I'm not going to take them. And that's just to make your physicality run in the spiritual realm. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. And virtue with knowledge. And knowledge with self-control. And self-control with steadfastness. And steadfastness with godliness. And godliness with brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love. Make every effort. These, and not always in the scripture when you see a list, are in an order of importance. This list is. When you read 2 Peter chapter 1 in these early few verses, this is a pathway. The supplements need to come at certain times. You start with faith. It's faith that got you into this room. Right? At some point, he intersected your life. He extended a nail-pierced hand and said, I love you. I have a life for you. And it's far better than whatever you're going to craft. And I know you have plans, but I have plans too. And I have plans for you. And the plans I have for you are good. And we attach our belief to him. That's faith. Sadly, and part of the blindness is, we stop there. Pastor Mike, isn't believing enough? Isn't having faith enough? Faith in Christ. Having faith in Christ is incredible. Don't forget, though, the demons believe and they tremble. They believe too. And I think in some measures they believe more than some believers because of the outcome of their fate, that they shake at his reality. When I walked into Grant City 44 years ago and saw this little Italian girl working in the dress section, and I was 18 years old, I said, I will do anything I can possibly do to win this girl's heart. And that was sight, just sight. And I found out her name, and I believed. I believed. Said, God, I'm not good at much, but if I could somehow pull this off, I would be so happy. I was no prize. Her parents, everybody should have said, excuse this one and keep rolling. I had no faith. I had nothing to offer. You can't just stay by saying, I believe. He loves you too much for that. So add to your faith virtue. So I believe, and now I'm going to walk into my future giving God the best of my character. I'm going to give him the best of who I can be and then let him break it and magnify it. When I met Ann, and she so spun my head, I was the shyest guy on earth, still am. I drove back to her the next day and tried to take another shot, and I realized I've got to give her virtue. No more of what I was doing, no more. On my half, what I could do, I had to stop because her dad's a cop. And taking drugs and her dad is not going to work. Living the way I was living was not going to work because when I would go over there, he was still always wearing his gun. He did. He's always in his dress pants and his t-shirt after work in his belt. Add to your faith virtue. Give God the best of yourself. Give him not tips, but top effort. Make every effort. And then knowledge. When I came to Christ, I knew nothing about him, really. There's a few stories I heard about the Christmas songs, and I knew there was a manger, and I didn't know much. But I wanted to give him my life, and then I wanted to know who he was. And we've got this crazy, cool book. Do you guys know we have a book? We've got a book. I love some of you are lifting your book. And in that book, we get to know him. We get to read about him and see what he did and what he will do, who he is. All I wanted to do is know Annie. I just wanted to get to know her. I put her in the hospital, actually, and this is true. You know, I was a bum, so I wasn't doing anything. I was just living. I was out of school. She was still in high school. I called her every night. We talked till the sun came up. She went to school. She got mononucleosis because we just talked all night long. I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to know who you are. I want you to know me. I just probably won't be very impressive. Make every effort to add to knowledge self-control. Self-control. We think about eating less, running more. He's not looking for just that. Self-control is let go of yourself. Let me have it. Make sure you're giving me time. Make sure you're giving me heart. As I'm pouring knowledge into you, control the other tendencies so you can use the knowledge I'm teaching you to use it in everyday life. Not racing ahead, not having to be dragged. Self-control. Then we add to that steadfastness. You realize these supplements are starting to increase vision and understanding and the ability to hear God? Steadfastness is huge because there's going to be a lot of times in your life you're going to have this one little question pop into your soul. Maybe I should quit now. This is too much. This is too much. See, living by faith is, you know, that's a bungee jump, isn't it? It's trusting God. It's not just a casual handshake once in a while. It's trusting God. Steadfastness says, I will stand. Peter used those words in other passages. Stand, and once you have stand firm. That's actually Paul. Stand firm. Steadfast, I will not move. I will not quit. I will hold on. I will go forward with you. The same command he gave every other disciple applies to us. Follow me? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I will follow you. And after steadfastness, make every effort to increase godliness. How do you increase godliness, Pastor Mike? Scripture says, be holy as he is holy. That's what it is. It's choosing to be separate. My life will reflect the values of God. No longer will I be one way on Monday and another way on Tuesday. I will walk away from the things that God can never partner with ever, 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 ever. And I will live a life that reflects who he is, what he's done, and his soon coming return. Now look what's come into this story thus far so you can see. And this is the one that blows my mind. After faith and virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, then comes in brotherly affection? My goodness, that should have been first. I mean, I'm just going to like Dick. Now I'm going to like Vicky. Brotherly affection. I'm going to have goodwill towards you. Howard, I love you. What's that show us? The true affection doesn't come cheap. It does not come cheap. For this room to have true affection in it, not divisiveness, not I could care lessness, True affection, brotherly affection. And then we make every effort to grow one more step, and that is love. Why do you think love is so butchered, so messed up? Because it doesn't come cheap. I'll never know what it cost you. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. Love doesn't come cheap for your family. It doesn't come cheap for your neighbors. It doesn't come cheap with your children. It's hard. And there's so many things that have to come into play so you can do this thing called life well. They will know we are Christians by our what? Love. I was a child of the 60s, and we all had love. It was on our posters. Did you see the posters? All the songs had the words in it, man. We had it all down. We even had signs. We couldn't do it. We called each other brother and sisters. But we weren't. We weren't even close. We were high, is what we were. But we wanted it. We sure did want it. We just couldn't do it. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, did you notice, make every effort? He goes on in verse 8 to say, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, Jane, if you stop at some level, something will happen to you. Something will happen to me. We digress. And we're not in self-control anymore. We are not patient. They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unbelievable. I don't want to be ineffective in my following of Christ. I don't want to be. I want to be effective for him. But if anyone does not have these things, he's nearsighted and blind. There's the full circle. Elisha simply said, in his time, somehow got wind of this. He grew. He progressed. God poured into him. God used him to thwart a nation and protect another. If we don't, we're nearsighted and blind, and even worse, we've forgotten that we've been cleansed from our sins. We go right back to as if none of this ever happened. How do I know this was a life mission for Peter? Because he tells us in verse 12, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them. I didn't tell you anything new this morning. You knew about these things. It's the make every effort part. Though you know them and are established in the truth that you have, I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. As long as I'm alive, you're going to get bored with me, Peter, saying, I'm going to bring you back to this. We're going to go through this again and again. Since I know that putting off my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made it clear to me, I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may still be able to recall these things. What's he saying there? I'm almost done. I'm dying. I won't be here long. So after I'm gone, I'm still going to make provision for you to hear about this. And he did it, didn't he? Because you just did. The Holy Spirit wanted that. So guys, it's really simple. God, I want an eye test. I want to cover this one. And I want to cover this one in my spirit and say I'm not seeing. I'm not seeing well. There's triggers around me every day. There's promptings around me every day, and I'm not seeing them. I'm walking right past them. I'm not hearing them. I will commit to you to do this. I'm going to add to my faith. I'm going right back to square one. I'm going to start building again. You will see. Amen? As the worship team comes, I want to pray for us. Oh God, I pray the same prayer that Elisha prayed for us, for myself first. Open my eyes that I might see. Open my eyes so I can see the depth and the height, the width of who you are. God, may we commit to building these things into our lives so we could be effective for you, that we could have not just brotherly affection for each other, but this room, this assembly, this church, our other sites, the other churches in this town could start loving Erie, could start loving each other. It's contagious. It's just as much as this hatred and violence all around us is contagious. Love is more contagious. I pray we'd be so infected that it would burst from this place. In Christ's name, amen.